Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Minorities in Tennis Show here at the UR Tennis Network, the show where we chat with leaders in the minority community within this great sport of ours. My name is Alex Chan, and I'll be your host for today. A little bit about myself before we get started. When I'm not hosting, I serve as the community tennis representative for USTA Virginia Tennis. I'm responsible for tennis in Northern Virginia, the National Junior Tennis and Learning Chapters, schools, military bases, and multicultural organizations in Virginia. I also serve as a staff liaison to our Diversity and Inclusion Committee. For more information about USTA Virginia Tennis, you can check out our website at www.virginiatennis.com. All right, so before I introduce my special guest for today, I would like to take a moment to play some words from our sponsors.
This is Jason Haynes, CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We are proud to announce the 2013 summer camp season has begun. At USSportCamps.com, you can plan out a Nike Tennis Camp experience. These are offered to both adults and juniors for day and overnight camps. Visit USSportCamps.com to pick up a brochure and join over 50,000 youth who say yes to our summer camp experience. Join a Nike Tennis Camp at www.USSportCamps.com or call us at 1-800-NIKE-CAMPS. In 2013, let our summer camps be your victory. Choose the Nike Tennis Camps and take your game to the next level.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
And welcome back, everyone. You are currently listening to the Minorities in Tennis Show here at the UR Tennis Network. Listeners are more than welcome to call in at any time to ask the guests questions or give comments during this broadcast by calling in at 714-583-6853. Again, that number is 714-583-6853. Please stay on the line until I'm able to get to you live on air later on in this show. So today, I'll be chatting with Chuck Atkins-Blank, Area 26 Tennis Coordinator for Special Olympics in Virginia. And Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alex. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So for the listeners, can you tell the listeners a little about yourself?
Sure. My wife and I moved to Arlington in 1987, and we've lived on and off in the Arlington community since then. I'm originally from Iowa, grew up in a small town in northwest Iowa, and we have two daughters. And in my day job, I work as an attorney for the Department of Justice.
Oh, nice. Very nice. So did you start tennis in Iowa, or did you start it when you came to Arlington?
I started in Iowa. My dad took up tennis late in life. He was a recreational player and played recreational tournaments in our community and later coached at the college where he was a professor in town. So he would take me out to hit around when I was young, and we were always around tennis. It was always on the TV. I didn't really get serious about it till around age 14, and then I started playing junior tournaments at that time, and ended up playing in high school and college as well.
Oh, great. How did you do in high school?
In high school, it was small town Iowa, but I had the unique opportunity of playing number two on my high school team behind a very gifted athlete who he played every sport, and he actually won the state singles championship twice in high school. He was not a power player, but he was very consistent, and he gave me a lot of exposure to consistency and point construction. And there was a long distance between number one and number two on our team, but it was really a unique opportunity for me to play behind someone of that caliber.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So was the competition really tough in your area when you played?
It was not real tough. There were some players. The disadvantage in that part of Iowa was there were not a lot of indoor courts. Probably the nearest indoor court to me was an hour and a half away, so just basically never made it. I would hit against a wall inside at the college gym in the winters, but we were all kind of limited by the 4 to 5 months of outdoor season we had. So the really good players tended to be in Des Moines, the big city, and some other cities or towns that had indoor courts. So it was kind of an interesting, there were a lot of football and basketball players who would play tennis in the off season. So they were natural athletes, but not playing tennis year round.
Okay. I see. All right. And then, so eventually you went to college, and you said you played tennis in college as well?
Yeah, in college, I went to Grinnell College, which is in Grinnell, Iowa, on the eastern side of the state. It's a Division III college, and I was able to play varsity there at the number three or four spot for 3 years. It was a great experience. There were, again, a number of good athletes who had taken up tennis in high school that played there. We had our number one player when I was there was actually from Philadelphia and was ranked in the Mid-Atlantic. So, again, there was a gap between the rest of us and him. but we were, you know, and we'd finish in the middle of the conference, in the Midwest Conference there. It was a great experience. My junior year, I went abroad to Spain, so I didn't play for the team that year, but I got to play on some clay courts against some clay experts and got a real lesson there in patience and point construction again.
Okay, cool. All right, so after the college years, did you continue playing tennis, I'm assuming, or did you play in any leagues after that?
Yeah, I didn't get into leagues right away. After college, I taught English in Thailand for 2 years, and I sort of thought I was going to have to hang my racket up. It was a program through my church where we, kind of like Peace Corps, where we would teach in a school for 2 years. I was going to be in a community outside of Bangkok, and I didn't really know anything about the community before I got there. About a month after I arrived, I learned that there was a pig farmer on the outside of town who had built 3 tennis courts on his farm. And
a pig farmer?
Kind of like a pig farmer, yeah. And he would have like all the veterinarians and the drug reps and everyone come play tennis kind of as a social thing, but there were some really good players. And I called my parents as soon as I found out. I said, send my rackets. And so I ended up playing there for 2 years in this sort of informal league. They even went to tournaments in Bangkok. I got to play a couple times.
Oh, wow.
When I got back, I didn't really play league until I got to Arlington then, you know, through the county, Arlington County Doubles League. I'm currently playing in their doubles league, and I'm on a USTA mixed doubles team this winter. So.
Oh, God, nice, nice. Okay. Wow. So you're currently in Arlington County, so you're playing tennis there. So at one point did you get into a Special Olympics, and now you're the tennis coordinator there. Can you tell us how did you get involved in Special Olympics?
Sure. I got involved through Special Olympics through my daughter, Tasha. She's now 21, and she's played Special Olympic sports for many years. You can start as an athlete in Special Olympics at age 8. She didn't start that early with Special Olympic sports because a lot of them are out in Fairfax, it was difficult for us to get her there. But by age 10 or 12, she was playing soccer, basketball, running track, softball. Just about every season there's a Special Olympic sport available. There's bowling. And she'd been active in these for years, but there was no tennis program available for her. So I was involved as a parent, and I would help out sometimes, help the coach on the other sports. But my expertise has always been tennis, so I didn't feel as comfortable taking on a full-time coaching position in these other sports. I got Tasha and her sister Megan involved in tennis early on, just in general. They both took lessons at the Skyline Sport and Health Club in Falls Church, and Tasha took to it more. Her sister went another route, to went into gymnastics and volleyball later, but Tasha liked tennis and continued to take their camps and their lessons. Tasha has Down syndrome, and so she's got some low muscle tone as a result, as most individuals with Down syndrome have. Some, you know, eye-hand coordination issues, but okay. She still can learn a sport. It just takes her a little longer than a typical athlete. She needs more repetition. And the coaches at the Skyline Sport and Health Club, they understood this just almost naturally, and they would give her the beginning lessons over and over and over, and eventually she got some really nice strokes, forehand, backhand, serve, and really enjoyed it. But there was no Special Olympics venue for her to play in. So the actual startup of the tennis program began about 4 years ago when a student intern from the University of Virginia received a grant from ExxonMobil to be a student intern in the Special Olympics office here in Northern Virginia, and they wanted her to try to kickstart a tennis program. A lot of us parents were very excited when we heard about it. And she basically, it was a summer internship. She spent the summer coordinating a tennis festival to gather interest for anyone who wanted to come and learn about playing tennis on adaptive equipment. And she ran practices, and so a lot of us signed our athletes up for those, and we enjoyed it. And at the end of the summer, she called a meeting and said, "My internship is over. It's up to the community now if you want this to go forward." And about five or six of us parents attended the meeting, and we said, "Let's give this a go." So we kept the program she started going. She had run it on outdoor courts exclusively in Fairfax. There were several sites she used. I had this ongoing relationship at the Skyline Sport and Health Club with the tennis director, so I approached her and said, "What would you think if we started a Special Olympics program to practice at your club?" And she said, "By all means." So that's sort of how the seed of how this started 4 years ago. We currently... Our program runs practices in the fall and the spring on outdoor courts in Fairfax. And there's another coach, Todd Roti, who runs those practices along with Andy Forrest, his co-coach for those sites. And then our team can practice also at the Skyline Sport and Health Club in the winter and spring at indoor sites. So they've got a lot of choices. And if they want to go to all these sites, they can actually play tennis all through spring. It provides them a lot of continuity. Athletes choose just to go to one or the other, but there's some who play at all the sites.
Okay. Wow. So actually, I have probably a few questions to follow up with that. But before I ask, I just want to repeat once again for our audience that if you wanted to call in, the number is 714-583-6853. And again, that's 714-583-6853. And I will start taking calls in about 5-10 minutes. All right, so back to Chuck. So for someone that's not very familiar with the adaptive tennis program, well, I guess one question might be, is there any big difference in teaching or in terms of teaching the program or the way that the matches are set up when you're working with these individuals?
Sure, I can tell you a little bit about Special Olympics itself. Special Olympics fits within the adaptive tennis community as a part of the program that is geared specifically towards individuals with intellectual disabilities. I got a few talking points I can give you about Special Olympics in general, if that's okay, first.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Special Olympics, it works through sports, health education, and community building to address inactivity, injustice, intolerance, and social isolation by encouraging and empowering people with intellectual disabilities, which leads to a more welcoming and inclusive society. So that's the overall kind of mission of Special Olympics itself. On the ground level, we serve about 11,000 athletes in Virginia with all the sports that are provided. And globally, this movement serves nearly 4 million athletes in 170 countries. We have a statewide volunteer network of about 20,000 individuals who volunteer and coach, all as volunteers, along with some generous partners throughout Virginia, both corporate and local entities that support these programs financially and with their time. And the athletes pay nothing to participate in Special Olympics sports.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be my next question, actually.
Background.
That's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, like, how much it would cost for the athletes. So since they pay nothing, what does it take to run the program and to support the program?
Right. Yeah, the Special Olympics, none of the sports charge any money. And for the tennis program specifically, as all other sports within Special Olympics, we are given some funding from our local area Special Olympics Council. They will fund one season. So they'll fund our spring season and pay for our equipment, our court time when we're playing indoors, uniforms. It costs money to go to the state games in Richmond in the summer, and they'll pay for that. We also receive some generous support from the health club itself. They comp us our court time at almost half the rate. They also don't charge any fees for individuals coming in to play on our team that aren't members. We also receive generous funding from USTA itself. Any USTA members listening should know that, you know, their dues are going towards your time specifically. You've given us publicity at our recent fundraiser we had in January. We've received grants from USTA, and we're going to continue to apply for those to help fund our winter session and equipment as well. So we also hold fundraisers with the public, and we take private donations at any time as well to Special Olympics. And all that together helps keep this program going.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. All right, so then I'm back to, I guess, the previous question. I know you're giving some overview of the Special Olympics. So in terms of the tennis component, how you describe the program is in terms of, like, how compared to other tennis programs?
Sure. This is the most exciting thing for me about the tennis program, and that is anyone can start playing at any age, no matter what their abilities. And what we use, we call it our adaptive equipment now, but it's been known as Quick Start within the USTA community, and also 10 and under tennis. And it's using the smaller rackets, the foam balls, the smaller nets. If people have seen these played at junior programs, they'll know what I'm talking about. Those work perfectly for athletes with intellectual disabilities. A lot of times they're reticent to try tennis because they've seen, you know, regular tennis being played on TV or in their community, and they just think it would be too hard. So we start with the basics. You know, we give lessons based a lot on what the 10 and under tennis curriculum has devised. They're fun lessons. You start with warm-up activities. You have a lot of games that we play where we call them games, but they're actually conditioning activities without a racket, where they're using foam balls or big oversized tennis balls, getting them to move their feet, move their arms, to throw these balls in a way that replicates a tennis stroke before they even realize it. And we've had a lot of success with this. We also use some of the lower pressure balls, the green and orange balls, to work them up towards playing on a regular court. And just to mention another exciting aspect of the Special Olympics program is in Virginia, the state organization has adopted the very small court with a small net as a competitive event now at the state games. Because in the past, all that was available was the skills program, and Special Olympics has a skills component to every sport where they don't make you play a match or a game. You just perform some of the skills of that sport. So in tennis, it's scored by having the athlete hit 10 forehands, 10 backhands, 10 volleys, 10 serves, and then you add up the points, and based on their accuracy, that's how people will be ranked.
Gotcha.
And in the past, Special Olympics only had that event, or you had to be able to play a regular tennis six-game set. And all the guys in between were kind of, you know, they'd outgrow the skills event, but they couldn't quite yet play a full tennis match. And now we have this adapted event in between, and we took some athletes last year to the state games to play that, and it's really been successful.
That's really good to hear. I mean, that's something that I know a lot of USTA advocates with the 10 under tennis program, that equipment is great for any beginners to learn, or anyone, to be honest. I use that for some of my adult programs as well, and you know, they enjoy it as well. So that's good that you're able to utilize that and make it work for your program. So you mentioned some of your program, the yearly program. What is the biggest event in the tennis Special Olympics program?
For our local program, I'd say we've probably got two things that are the sort of fulcrums of our program that keep us going. The first would be our Fall Tennis Fest, and that's in October, and it's a one-day festival, and USTA has been very supportive of this in the past. The Virginia Adaptive Tennis Coordinator, Donnie Weed, has appeared last year and took pictures for us, helped us publicize, came all the way up from Virginia Beach. It was really exciting. And we used that one-day event to attract more athletes to our program. So we put out a blast on our Special Olympics Northern Virginia website. We email all the athletes that we have emails of from all sports. And we say, hey, come try tennis. You know, you don't have to know how to play, or maybe you played before. We have them come, and they go through, if they're beginners, we run a one-hour beginner lesson. So they can see what a lesson would be like on this adaptive equipment with our coaches and how positive it is. We also have volunteers come to that event. Some have worked with us before, but we also are able to pull in new volunteers who see how much fun it is. The volunteers don't have to have a tennis background. If they do, we definitely use their skills as tennis players to help feed drills and where they're most effective. But if they're new to tennis, they are very helpful as volunteers with a lot of the one-on-one work we do with the beginner athletes, working with balls, foam balls. You don't have to be a tennis player to participate. And that's been very successful in drawing in new interest to our program. So, for instance, we started 4 years ago with maybe 10 athletes that first came out for our spring season. Last season we had 33 athletes signed up. So it's been really encouraging. Yeah, and then the second biggest event is our spring season, because that starts in mid-March, and athletes can go to our outdoor site or our indoor site or both to practice, and we run through a lot of basics, fundamentals. We also hold several competitions during that season, and then it culminates in June, in the second weekend of June, in the state games in Richmond. And Special Olympics allows you to take usually about a third of your active roster to state games. So we'll have a competition and a lottery to find out who gets to qualify to go to the state games. content. It's a three-day event at the University of Richmond. The athletes love it. They get to live in the dorms. For some of these individuals, it's the only time they get away from home, really, and can be somewhat independent. They're with their coaches. They're away from mom and dad, and they just have a ball. And they get to play tennis against other people from around the state who they don't normally get to play with.
Okay. And would the parents also be invited if they wanted to come?
Yes, we have parents who will come down oftentimes and watch, and some parents come as chaperones. We usually are allowed to bring one or two chaperones with the coaches, depending on how many athletes we have, and they help keep track of everyone in the dorms and get everyone to their events and to the dining hall. But the parents oftentimes will come down and they'll have a nice weekend. They'll stay in a hotel and get to come watch their athlete compete at the events. So they love it.
That's
too.
Great. So, yeah, so it doesn't seem like the athletes that play in the Special Olympic program get bored then throughout the year. They seem to have a lot of stuff that's going on. So that's great to hear. All right, so I have a caller that's on the line, and I have a feeling I know who it is. Let me see if it is. Hello, is this Donnie?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Donnie. Well,
hi, Donnie.
For the listeners, I mean, I know. Donnie, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Donnie Weed. I am the Virginia Tennis Adaptive Oversight person. I'm also the staff liaison for the Virginia Tennis Adaptive Committee, of which Chuck is now a member. So, Chuck, I would like to thank you for joining the committee for the next 2 years.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
One thing I did want to ask you, what would you see the role of the committee as far as promoting adaptive tennis throughout the state?
Well, I'm brand new to the committee, and I'm really excited to be involved in this. It's sort of opened up my world beyond Special Olympics. And I think Alex and I haven't talked yet about the distinction, so maybe I should mention that adaptive tennis includes individuals with both intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities. So it's a broader population of athlete that we're looking for. And I know we just met recently at a leadership seminar, and our committee was able to discuss sort of where our goals are going forward in the next few years. And we're really looking to work with the Wounded Warriors Project and try to spread the use of our adaptive tennis equipment throughout the VA hospitals and try to get some of our returning veterans who maybe have played tennis in the past or are interested or who we can interest in taking it up to get involved in our adaptive tennis program.
Well, with what you've done in Area 26, if that's an indication, I think you're going to be a great asset to the committee, so we're glad to have you.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it. I think another thing the committee wants to do is continue the spread of adaptive tennis tournaments. I know Wayne McCoy has been very, immediate past president of USTA Virginia, was very instrumental in getting the Beach Blast tournament started last year, and he told me he's looking forward to another great one this year. It's on April 27th in Virginia Beach, and our hope is on the committee to start other such tournaments around the state to get athletes interested that way.
And, hey, Chuck, for those that don't know, can you tell a little about what the Beach Blast encompass? What do athletes get to do at that event?
Sure. Donnie may correct me if I get anything wrong, because I wasn't able to attend it last year, but what Wayne told me that it was very successful, the format they used. It's a doubles tournament, and it's a unified, what they call unified, where you have a typical tennis player with one of the adaptive athletes playing together on the team. But the actual goal communicated to the typical players is make sure you're feeding a ball to the adaptive athlete on the other side that will make him involved in the match and competitive. And he said this worked very well. Everyone had a really good time, and I'm really excited to hear about that model. I have not tried that before, and I think it's something we could do throughout the state.
Great. And Don, do you have any additional comments about the program or the event?
No, actually, he nailed it. Last year we had about just over 30 athletes and then over 70 volunteers participating, so we're hoping to have even bigger numbers this year. But I think with the word getting out through several different means, I think it's going to be a really good event.
Great, great, good. All right, and since Donnie, since you're still on, let me ask you and Chuck the next question to get the perspective. So with adaptive tennis, it seems like it's actually pretty big in Virginia. So I'll ask Chuck first. What are your thoughts of the adaptive tennis program in the area currently, and do you think it has a bright future ahead of it?
Well, I think when you look at Virginia, just the USTA membership and the active participation of USTA members in leagues throughout Virginia, we have a real opportunity here with this tennis community we have in Virginia. It's something special, and I think it only means we can grow our adaptive tennis program by getting the word out to the athletes and to tennis players who maybe weren't aware of this opportunity to volunteer their time to work with these athletes. I think the biggest thing is making sure athletes and volunteers are aware of the opportunities, and also getting adaptive athletes to try the adaptive tennis equipment. Our experience in Area 26 with Special Olympics has been a lot of athletes and their parents just never looked at tennis because they thought it would be too hard. And once they try the adaptive equipment and realize, oh, it's a progression, I can do this and I can advance my skills forward, then they're hooked. And these one-day tennis festivals are probably one of the best ways to introduce the athletes to the sport.
Okay, good. And then, Donnie, what are your thoughts about the state of adaptive tennis in our area?
I think Chuck nailed it. I mean, promoting awareness is the key. There are several models that we're trying to at least take bits and pieces from. One is in North Carolina, where they have a statewide CTA just solely for adaptive tennis. So we're trying to find out some of the positives about that, seeing if it's something that we can implement in our own programs. Also, they have what they call a special POPS program down in the Atlanta area. They had a big unified tournament in the fall last year. So some of the things that they do to promote that, we're trying to get, follow those same suit so we can kind of learn from what they did, maybe avoid some of the things that they didn't find were too successful. But I think we've got a good core group, especially with like our adaptive committee this year. We've got a good geographic representation. So we've got people spread out. The experience is a big event in Charlottesville. Ron Manella runs that, so he's on the committee. We've got people down in Virginia Beach area, the Tidewater area. So we've got Jen Dowda in Richmond, who recently bought the Jensen Smith Academy, which if you're not aware of that, they run academies or run a program for players with Down syndrome. So what they do is they're based in West Virginia, and they come out here and they run the committee, or they run the clinic, and then primarily it's just they go around. I think they had about 50 people participating, and I think they might try to get another one in maybe later this year or early next. But I think all those programs combined can really help promote the program itself.
Okay, great. All right, cool. Donnie, any other words you want to, or any comments you want to say to Chuck or me?
No, I think everything has pretty much been laid out there. I just I look forward to the next 2 years because I think it's going to be really exciting with the room we have for growth.
Great. Well, thank you, Donnie, for calling in.
Hey, Alex, if I could plug our local website.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I would lean right into that, actually.
I'm
say bye to Donnie first.
Sorry. I thought you were saying goodbye to me. I'm sorry.
No, to Donnie. All right, so back to you, actually. So I guess you go ahead. Some final thoughts. Go ahead. Anything else you want to say?
Well, at first I just wanted to say thank you to Donnie for all the opportunities he's given our program and the support from USTA to get the program in Northern Virginia going and the encouragement that we've received. I'm really looking forward to working on the committee and see us going further and further. I just wanted to put out our website for anyone who's listening in the Northern Virginia area who might be interested as an athlete or a volunteer in working with our program. They can go to www.novasova.org. That's NOVASOVA.org. And that's the Fairfax, Arlington, Falls Church website for athletes in that area for all Special Olympic sports, and you can find tennis on that, on the list there. And that you'll find information for our current season and also our upcoming spring season, which will start in mid-March. So thank you very much.
Okay. And, one last question. And then if people want to volunteer, they can also go to the website to request a volunteer.
Go to that website. Yeah, and that's just for Special Olympics in general. But also, if you are interested in our tennis program at the Skyline Sport and Health Club or at our Fairfax outdoor sites, you can email us at novasovatennis@gmail.com. So it's the NOVASOVA tennis, all one word, @gmail.com. Tell us if you're interested in volunteering or if you're an athlete or if you know an athlete who might be interested, and we'll get back to you.
Great. And I guess also the same thing if they wanted to donate to the program, they can also just email that address? Or
they can email that address if they're interested, yes. We'll get the information to them. That'd be awesome.
All right, great. All right, well, Chuck, thank you for being on my show today. I wish you well for your future.
Thank you, Alex. I look forward to working with you more in the future. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. And that's it for the show today, and thanks everyone for listening. My next show will be coming up in 2 weeks on Saturday, March 2nd at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest will be Joseph Awadalla, the founder and president of the Coptic Tennis Association in Northern Virginia. To stay connected to all UR Tennis Network radio show, you can be sure to subscribe to our radio channel at blogtalkradio.com/UR Tennis Network. And you can also like the fan page on Facebook at facebook.com/UR Tennis. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in into the Minorities in Tennis Show. Have a good weekend, and I will see you here again in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.